Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
I'm MC.
And we have a special guest today.
Hey, I'm Tyler.
It's Tyler. Tyler, at JaxCatCult on Twitter. The brains behind the We Can Make This Work Probably Network, and the host of Too Young for This Hit, and also the awful, horrible human being who made us watch this television program. Welcome.
So, I think this show is fantastic. I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
It is awful. Like, completely awful. Like, the characters are the worst.
Link is just like a totally cool 90s dude. That's also very like sexist and super, a little rapey.
Super rapey. You'll be happy to know that the word rapey was used in the first episode. So, yeah.
Good.
So this is our conversation about episode 2 of The Legend of Zelda. But Tyler, I know you went and watched episode 1 as well, right?
Yeah.
Why did you didn't have to do that? You poor
thing. I needed the backstory. Like, I didn't want to just jump into episode 2 not knowing, like, how did we get here? Yeah. How did Link get a super cool catchphrase? Hey,
which is,
excuse me, princess.
Yeah. See, when you say it, it sounds even, like, less bad than
it
is.
I forgot
the show
to do the excuse me.
Yeah, that's what I've titled in all my notes as Sassy Link.
Sassy's a nice word for it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned story, though, Tyler, because for our background segment for today, I want to talk about the writers who brought this horrible thing upon the world. This show was created by Bob Forward. Bob Forward, you may remember, was a contributor for Biker Mice from Mars. So he helped make that show, which is currently at the bottom of our list, and then made this show. Well, I guess he made this show first, but he made both of the shows that are going to be the bottom of our list. His sister Eve Forward helped with this as well, just like she did on Biker Mice from Mars. Also, there's a Marcia Forward who helped write some of the episodes of Legend of Zelda. I cannot find a dang thing about her. I don't know who she is. I don't know what her relationship to Bob is. I assume she's related. Her only credit on IMDb is the one episode of Legend of Zelda that she wrote. So I think what happened was basically Bob just was going to everybody in his family and being like, please help me write this cartoon. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need help.
Yeah. That pretty much sounds like all of these episodes. So I wouldn't surprise me.
I have
me
no idea what I'm doing. Please help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the person that actually wrote this episode was Phil Harnage.
It was.
And I looked into him a little bit, and he wrote, like, for a lot of cartoons around this period. The one that really stood out for me was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly who Link acts like, except for rapey.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah, Sonic attitude. Is a less rapey Link. That makes sense.
And that's why I don't like Sonic either. That TV show, yeah, like, it's terrible as well. And the Mario Brothers show, that they're all terrible. That if we get around to them, they're all at the bottom. I'm telling you now, Troy.
I have fond memories of The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog and of Super Mario World.
I don't have memories of Super Mario World. But Sonic the Hedgehog, I would always catch it on, like, late at night on TV, and I loved it. Like, probably just because I was like, oh, cool, it's a video game I like on TV. And I don't think I saw that with anything else, really, growing up.
There's only one other writer who contributed to this show. So this whole show, all 13 episodes, were done by 5 total people, which is pretty nuts as far as I've seen so far for cartoons. That was Dennis O'Flaherty? Flattery? F-L-A-H-E-R-T-Y. Flaherty? Flaherty?
Sure, flirty.
Flirty? Aw, Dennis, you're so flirty. He wrote for a bunch of stuff, too. including the original Ghostbusters. Let me try that word again. The original Ghostbusters, not the one that has anything to do with the Ghostbusters, the one that has nothing to do with the Ghostbusters, but according to copyright law is technically the original Ghostbusters. Also, he wrote for Ghostbusters, the one that actually has to do with Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
He also wrote for a so-called Dino Saucers, which is a show about alien dinosaurs that land on Earth. And there's good dinosaurs that are herbivores and bad dinosaurs that are the carnivores. And that sounds great. And that's he also wrote for a show called Extreme Dinosaurs, which is about dinosaurs that are anthropomorphic and super cool teen dudes, just like Street Sharks, which he also wrote for, except for in Extreme Dinosaurs, the dinosaurs were created by aliens. So dude has a thing about dinosaurs and aliens, and I'm very, very in favor of this.
So
also Biker Mice from Mars, because everybody worked on Biker Mice from Mars.
I've never watched Extreme Dinosaurs, but I listened to a podcast where they watched it and talked about it.
Oh,
so
really?
It's almost like I did.
Which show was it? TuneIn Pod or?
No, it was. It's a Duck Blur. It was a special Christmas episode with Daniel Kay.
Oh, so. Why have I not listened to this? Shame on me.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Because you're watching Legend of Zelda.
I haven't.
God.
I haven't listened to much of Duck Blur because I want to watch DuckTales while I listen to Duck Blur, and that's just a time commitment, but I should probably just start listening to it.
Yeah, or you could just listen to like the special episodes.
Maybe that's the way to go. Okay, we have to talk about Zelda now. We can't.
Did you guys talk about the Super Mario Bros. Super Show theme song in the last episode?
Not much. I wanted to save that for you.
Yeah.
We did talk about Do the Mario, but we did not talk much about the intro song. Please take it away.
Yeah, so when I went to watch these episodes, I would probably watch the intro song Hooked on the Brothers like 5 to 10 times before actually starting the episode. Like, it's so catchy and stupid and awful. And I encourage everyone to just go on YouTube right now and search for Hooked on the Brothers.
I just spilled coffee on myself. Why would you do that to yourself?
It's so bad.
It's so catchy.
You need to kick the brothers. You've got a bad habit.
I'm hooked.
You're too hooked on the brothers.
The worst thing is the guy who plays Mario and the way that he dances in the opening. Oh my god. It's like, what is he doing? It's like he doesn't understand how his body moves.
He's doing the Mario. He's swinging his arms from side to side and taking a step and then again.
His voice is just awful. He doesn't sound like Mario at all.
No. Nope.
Did we talk about this when I was on your show, Tyler? Did you? Wait, Tyler. Have you seen the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I've seen it twice.
For a second, I was so excited. I was like, yes, that's the show.
Do you love that movie?
I do. I genuinely love that movie. Like,
same.
Without irony, I think that movie is a ton of fun. It's bad, but I like it.
If it didn't have Super Mario Brothers in the title, and it was just like billed as some ripoff action movie, that would be a great movie. But because it has Super Mario Brothers in it, and they had to have like Goombas and everything, it ruins plots and the plot and everything. It's terrible for that, but it's a great movie just to watch down and like just turn off your brain and enjoy it.
It's definitely an interesting movie. I don't hate it. I saw it as a kid once, and then I saw it when I was an adult just to like see how it was, because I know everyone hates it. But yeah, it's a wild ride.
Yeah,
I'm putting that on their poster.
Yeah, I'm disappointed it never got a sequel like they implied in the movie.
Oh my gosh,
oh
right?
Yes.
The game is very much on at the end of that movie.
The Super Koopa Cousins?
Well, we've successfully stalled for 2.5 minutes. Anybody else got anything to say about that intro before we have to talk about the show?
I do have something I wanted to say, and I thought I wrote it down, but I cannot find it. So, like, at the start of the intro, like, Mario says something really dumb. He's like, hey, all you pizza somethings. And it's like not a thing. I don't remember what he says, but it's just like, what is he talking about?
He says pizzanos.
Pizzanos. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Like, there's no Mamma Mia in that whole, like, intro. And
he doesn't say, it's a me.
It's a me, yeah.
He could say that.
Who is
he
it?
Could say, hey, it's we a me, Mario. But again, I mean, we kind of talked about this with The Legend of Zelda, that this can only pull characters, as much as you can call them characters, from the first two Zelda games, because when this came out, like, A Link to the Past didn't exist, and A Link to the Past is the first time that Zelda actually had a character to speak of.
Yeah. So this was back when Link was a brunette.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mario, at this point, I don't know that he'd ever said, it's a me, Mario. I mean, that's Nintendo 64, right? I don't know if even Super Mario World has that in it. I think that just might be that the title
64.
Screen of 64. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
It's the first day of spring and love is blooming.
Do you know what that means, Link?
Apparently, it doesn't mean smoochy time. God, I've already upset myself. Okay. It's the first day of spring in Hyrule Castle. And Zelda's like, ah, Link, are you all strong and stuff? And he's like, heck yeah, gonna go kick some monsters' butt. And she's like, nope, cleaning the castle. that's the plot of the episode, is they're gonna clean.
Yeah.
Did you say the name of the episode? It's Cold Spells.
I think I said it about 5 minutes ago when we were supposed to start talking about the episode.
Okay.
But we've managed to avoid it for so long that I'm not positive. Yeah, it's called. Why is it called Cold Spells?
I have a theory that we can talk about later.
You have a
theory. Yeah. Like, if I had only seen this episode, I think I would think it has, like, a hidden meaning.
Okay. So,
yeah, we'll talk about it after we talk about the episode.
I'm intrigued. All right. I do like that Zelda's having Link help with the cleaning, and she seems to be at least marginally contributing herself. You hear princess, you think she's probably going to have like servants doing it or something, but it seems like everybody's contributing. So that's a good thing. One good thing.
Well, you don't actually see her clean anything. You just see her walk around ordering other people to clean stuff. So
yeah, maybe it's not a good thing.
Yeah. She acts like she's going to clean Link's room for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
instead, she just suffocates a bird?
Yeah, the Moby. She grabs the Moby and sticks it into his dirty laundry. That's all she does, it seems.
Yeah. That's cruelty to animals. Is like, isn't that one of the three markers of like pre-homicide, is when you're cruel to animals? She tries to suffocate a bird.
Yeah, and she looks like she's going to kill that bird.
Yeah.
She holds him in there for a long time.
Like, too long. She's, yeah.
And then when she releases it, it's like really like out of it, and it does not like, look good. And you're like, yeah. And it's like, she really hurt that bird.
That's a little messed up.
Yeah.
Before that, though, when she first tells Link that he's gonna clean, he has a great line, by which I mean I hate Link and I want to burn him with fire, where he says, "I'll stand firm. I won't knuckle down under. I'll look her right in the eye and lie. I'll pretend that I'm sick." He's going to pretend to be sick to get out of cleaning because he's the worst.
He's a good guy.
No, he's
he's a cool 90s slacker dude.
We developed a theory that the Master Sword, being the Sword of Evil's bane, if it were to strike an innocent bystander, would just drive all evilness out of their hearts. And I think Link should zap himself, because he's got some evil that needs to be expunged. We get some wisdom from the Triforce of Wisdom. MC, did you write this one down? When Zelda's talking about how can, like, oh man, his room's so dirty, what a gross room.
Oh yes, that's right. The Triforce of Wisdom's like, I don't have the exact wording here, but it's like bravery and that don't link up with cleanliness, essentially. It's like,
yeah,
he's an adventurer, leave him a be. And it's like, that's don't don't tell the princess that.
Don't enable him. Don't enable his slobbiness. The Triforce wisdom says orderly ways do not make one brave, and cleanliness a kingdom does not save.
Yeah, there we go. And
so before it goes to Zelda and Link's room, there's like a really good, this is like the best joke, maybe the only good joke in the whole episode, is there's voiceover of Zelda right after Link says he's gonna lie and pretend to be sick, and she goes, "What a pile of garbage," talking about the stuff in his room, but it's still on the scene of him.
Well, that's fantastic. I didn't catch that. That how does that happen though? Like, if the writers realize that he's terrible, why did they make him so terrible? Why not just don't make him terrible? Maybe Phil realized that he was terrible and he had to play with the toys he was given.
Maybe. And why do they write him as such a terrible person when he's supposed to be the hero of Hyrule?
Because listen, being a hero doesn't mean you have to be nice. I'm trying to come up with a rhyme like the Triforce of Wisdom. I got nothing. I don't know. All I could think of was rice. That doesn't work at all.
So, do Triforces normally talk? Is that like an established thing?
I think
you hear the sages or the guardians of the Triforce, things like that, more than the Triforce itself. So, no.
No.
That's just for this show.
Yeah. Which is weird, because you hear both the pieces that you see in the show in the first episode talk. In this episode, you only hear the Wisdom One talk. And I think in the next one, you only hear the Wisdom One talk. Like, the Power One chips in once so far.
I think I saw online that it's only that one time that you hear the Power.
Oh, okay.
I totally missed that in the first episode.
It talks to Ganon about how he's not actually an amateur magician, and he's like, but I'll pretend to be. I don't want to talk about the next thing that happens. I'm like stalling, because after the bird thing happens, Zelda like is like exhausted
and she flops down on the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
She flops down on the bed, and Link, who's pretending to be sick, walks in, sees Zelda on the bed, and he's like, "Oh yes," and runs at the bed and jumps on it,
screaming, "Smooching time!"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she just got through with one attack, and then she's getting assaulted by Link. Like, so I don't understand what their relationship is supposed to be. I guess he is just obsessed with her and she's not interested, or...
That's essentially what we're supposed to take from it. Like, she's supposed to be the princess, and he's just supposed to be the hero who's protecting the Triforce.
Yeah.
Even though they're living in the same castle and everything, she's not interested in him at all.
Yeah. And Link's a creepy stalker, and Sprite is Link's creepy stalker.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yay, kids shows! Hooray!
Love triangles, good. Sort of.
So, MC, you defended Ganon last episode.
Yeah.
As far as I understand...
He's the best character in the show. He's supposed to be bad. The rest of them aren't supposed to be bad. He is actually supposed to be bad. It's supposed to be intentionally bad.
Can you explain his plan to me for this episode?
No, I can't. Okay. It doesn't make any sense.
Because as far as I've got it, it's, they're cleaning, aha, I'll steal the Triforce. Like,
No, he's like, I'll give Sprite, the fairy, a boost to their power, it'll go awry, and when they're distracted, I'll steal the Triforce. But it doesn't make sense. How does he know that that's gonna happen?
Yeah, and what does that have to do with the cleaning? Does she only use her power for spring clean? I don't understand.
I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it at all. I'm not sure if this show is supposed to make sense.
It's just bad. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so Ganon does show up, though. He boosts Sprite's power, yeah. And she takes an orange to Link, which is not important at all.
Yeah, there's that whole scene with the old lady selling oranges, and the Sprite's just like, I'll take one. I've got a sick friend. Here's no rupees.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She's still sold that orange.
Yeah.
That's not cool, Sprite.
Actually, my favorite bit in this episode is Ganon's vehicle.
Do you guys remember? The gross slug cockroach thing.
Yeah, it's a big bug with a seat on the back of it. I'm like, how did he apply a saddle or whatever to that thing?
Like, well, it came with it when he like summoned it out of, what did he call it? It had like a dumb name. The evil jar.
Yeah.
Where he just summons things from.
And it was so weird. In that scene, like after he summoned it, he teleports to its back. And I'm like, did they just not feel like animating him walking and climbing it? Because why doesn't he just teleport to the Triforce?
That's explained in the first episode, actually. For once, this makes sense. He says that his teleportation powers are weaker in the overworld than they are in the underworld.
That's why he has to get on the litter for the skeletons to carry him to the wizard competition.
Mm-hmm. So there. Look, you try and poke holes in this show. Everything's watertight.
I should have watched that episode. I'll have to watch episode one again. I watched this episode 3 times.
I'm so sorry.
Why would you do that, Tyler? It's so bad.
I watched it once and I was laughing too hard at how bad it was to take notes. And then I was like, I'll watch it again later in the week. And then the same thing happened. So I had to watch it twice today.
So this is actually a good moment to address this. You suggested this show as one we should watch, but you, A, hadn't ever seen this show, and B, aren't a fan of Zelda games, right?
Not a huge fan. I've never beaten one.
Why did you do this to us?
Because I knew it was a show, and it would be... I knew it's like one of those notoriously bad shows. So I just figured it'd be a good, entertaining thing for you to watch. Not really. It didn't stand a chance of being the best animated show ever.
No.
So far, maybe if you watched it first episode, but...
If we watched it first episode, it still wouldn't have been the best animated show.
Oh, no. It's so bad in the first episode. We would have definitely left it at the bottom anyway.
I would have made up a category of -1 or something. Where are we? I don't know.
Ganon zaps Sprite. She gets the orange. She zips off to go see Link.
Uh-huh. This is where... The orange. She zips off. She gives him the orange. And then she leaves. Nothing happens there, right?
And, So him with the orange, he's like looking at it, and he's like... I don't want to get better. I'm just going to keep pretending to be sick. And he throws the orange away. Like it was actually going to magically heal him of a disease he doesn't have. He's not sick.
In fact, right after it cuts back to Link in his tower, he's play fighting. Like he's jumping around in his room with his sword out, just like having a good old time. And then he hears a knock on the door. And he's like, oh, I better get back in bed and pretend to be sick.
And he, like, body slams the bed just like he did when he was trying to jump on top of Zelda.
Yeah. And, like, someone right outside the door wouldn't hear all this activity going on and be like, hey, wait a minute, is he actually sick?
Yeah. He's the worst.
Yeah.
So Sprite's trying to clean now, right? That's what happens next? Realizes that her magic is, like, super OP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Zelda like tells her to clean, and she's like, "Yes, Your Highness." And then the minute she turns around, still in earshot, she like sticks her tongue out and makes like the sound. And Zelda just like looks around and glares at her so hard, but they don't say anything. She's like, "Really?"
Well, based on Zelda's reaction to getting laughed at in the first episode, I'm surprised she didn't like order Sprite to be beheaded for that. Who dares laugh at me?
Yeah, later on in the episode, she, like, threatens Link And yeah, we'll get to it. But
yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Sprite's cleaning. The magic goes awry. She uses her cleaning magic on Zelda's room. And everything starts out sort of sedated. And then the Mickey and Fantasia thing happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That is basically what this is.
Yeah. Everything starts going... her magic makes everything just sort of clean extra. And then buckets grow wings for some reason. And... Yep. Start filling up the room with water.
Yeah, they like throw water on the bed and they start mopping the bed.
Oh, yeah. No.
And don't nothing in bed. This episode, when any of the characters or anything gets wet, they never stay wet at all. Well, they just didn't feel like they weren't bothered to animate magic. That. Yeah. Water immunity, of course.
So Zelda and Link both hear Sprite scream. And they both go running to help her out, right?
Oh, yeah. So there was one little bit I liked in Sprite, like, getting attacked by things. There's a rag jumps out of a bucket, and it takes, like, the vague shape of a man and just kicks her in the face.
I do remember that, yes.
Poor Sprite getting kicked in the face by a cloth.
Yeah, and at this point, I was like, the animation in the show isn't bad. Like, it's pretty good. And then I noticed some stuff later on where they just didn't bother to animate the mouth flaps going. They just stopped halfway through a sentence. And I was like, nice.
Yeah.
We decided last episode that we like this episode, or we like this show as long as no one's talking, because the action is all pretty solid, but everything else is terrible. But yeah, this cleaning montage is kind of cool. And Link gets like flushed out of the tower by a waterfall.
Yep. And Zelda's at the bottom of the stairs, and she gets washed away as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, oh no, but she doesn't move.
And then Link calls it a royal flush.
Yeah.
And for some strange reason, immediately, like, as soon as this happens, Zelda's like, oh, it's Ganon.
Well, because it's a Friday, and every time something goes wrong on a Friday, it's because Ganon's out to steal the Triforce of Wisdom.
Yep, and this
set your clock by it.
The next scene is actually my favorite scene in the whole thing. It's Ganon riding up the wall of the tower on the beetle, on the back of the beetle. He's just like horizontal to the ground, and he's not falling off. It doesn't even look like he's holding on to anything, I don't think. He's just beetle. Sitting there. Yeah.
Very reminiscent of 60s Batman.
Yeah.
So
just straight up the side of the wall.
Before that, like when Zelda says that I think it's Ganon up to something, Link's like, yeah, you're right. You should take these. And he pulls out little miniature bow and boomerangs.
We actually talked about this. In the last episode, we were talking about how everything just seems to miniaturize as he puts it in the pouch. Mm-hmm. And in the next episode, they actually talk about how everyone has like a little bit of magic. So I'm thinking that's Link's magic.
He can make things tiny?
Yeah. To fit it into his pouch.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I took it as the pouch was magic, I think, is kind of what I thought during the show. That it was just, like you said, MC, like a bag of holding.
It was
a magic power of the pouch. But
yeah, I thought it was just them like interpreting how like video games, you can hold like infinite things most of the times. So, yeah.
It's a nice conceit for a show based on a video game, because somehow you have to explain that.
Yeah.
They fight some cleaning supplies. Right? Is that where we're at?
Maybe. I think I skipped ahead in my notes.
Well, Ganon actually gets the Triforce before. Like, he actually has it before they start fighting everything. But, that's a small scene of him just picking it up and being like, haha, I have both now, and then trying to get away.
Mm-hmm.
My note on that just says, oh no, he has the Triforce of Wisdom again. ..
Uh, it's at this point that Link and Zelda run up to the tower and try and help Sprite.
Yeah, and this was another... I said there was one good joke, but I think this joke was pretty good, too. So they bust in the room, and Link goes, "My gosh!" Zelda goes, "My room!" And Sprite goes, "My life!"
I couldn't tell what Sprite yelled there, but I was like, okay, I like the repetition, but I have no idea what Sprite's line was.
Yeah, I thought her line was pretty good. Because, like, Zelda just doesn't care that Sprite, like, could die from this mop that's attacking her.
There's a weird tension between Zelda and Sprite. Like they don't get along, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think we're seeing their true relationship, which is why I think they hate each other. But the show only vaguely hints at it.
Yeah. But it seems like they only... Well, Sprite hates Zelda because Link likes Zelda, not her, so...
It's complicated. Complex relationships.
The best bit about this scene is, actually, Link gets wrapped up. Mm-hmm. He's not the one doing most of the fighting. It's Zelda who does most of the fighting in this scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Link's trapped in, I think it's a bed sheet. Mm-hmm. I can't... It's just a sheet. And so Zelda's got her bow out and she's just shooting everything.
Rag like cloppers at her in the face. And I just happened to pause it at that moment that the rag hits her face to like take a note. And Link is like behind her for some reason. And it looks like he's chloroforming her in the screenshot. Like, I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, rapey Link.
that would happen in this world. Oh, my. So now we're up to the part of the episode where they have to chase Ganon because
Ganon's like, "Go faster." He's like, "We're being chased, go faster." And it's like, "You're on a bug. But how much faster do you expect it to go?"
So fast. I'm gonna be honest. Both times I watched this episode, I checked out at this point of this episode. I don't remember. I'm looking at the recap of this episode, and I'm like, I don't even remember this.
Yeah, no, see, here's the thing. Ganon gets away. He gets to the underworld entrance, and it closes up behind him. And
doesn't that mean he wins? Like, shouldn't he have, like, ultimate power now?
It should, except... Link knows a way into the underworld, and he walks up to a tree and does something, and a door opens.
Yeah,
and okay. And Zelda's like, this feels like a trap.
Okay, so, and it is, right? Because they fall into, like, a glass jar, but not the jar of evil, glass jar.
First, when they walk in, the roots of the tree start attacking them.
Yeah, they get wrapped up in them. First, Zelda gets wrapped up, and Link, like, pew-pews with a sword and gets her down.
And then Link gets wrapped up, and Zelda does the same thing with the bow. And then, for some strange reason, they activate a trap door right where they're standing the whole time.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they showed, like, that same scene before, and you couldn't see a trap door. And then the second time, there's, like, an obvious trap door there.
Yeah. It's really bad, because they're standing in the same spot.
Y'all, I swear, I watched this episode twice. I did. I have no memory of this at all. What?
So all you think is they just fell into a glass jar? Because that's what happens next.
Yeah.
I remember them being in a glass jar, and then I blacked out for a while, and then I did the Mario, and that's about all I've got.
Yeah. No, so that's all that happens is... It's a weird scene where they somehow fall into a trapdoor that leads to the glass jar that they get trapped in. And it's at this point, Link tries to pew-pew Ganon with his sword, and it backfires, essentially, because of the glass jar.
Does that bouncing around thing, like in Star Wars, when they're in the trash compactor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then Link's, like, banging on the glass for, like, so long that it's kind of funny. And, Ganon's, like, taunting him, so Link taunts back, and he's like, "Let me out, and I'll show you who laughs last, hog face." And I'm wondering if, like, if you actually have a pig face, is it an insult to be called hog face?
Hmm. I mean, it's not necessarily inaccurate, but that doesn't mean it's not an insult.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't mean it's not hurtful.
Yeah. Like, hey, come on, don't talk about my hog face. You know I'm sensitive about that.
Oh, what's really weird about all the from like the chase scene to this point, like in the background, Sprite's like, oh, I should go help them because this is kind of my fault. And she follows them the whole time, but she's like not a part of anything that happens up until the next point, like right in the fight.
Also, totally not Sprite's fault, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Like,
I mean, if anyone's, it's like Link's fault for acting sick, because then she wouldn't have had to use the magic to clean what he's not cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see, that.
I assume she would use magic anyway. Like, if you have magic, you're going to use magic to clean. Right? Like, why would you not? So, I mean, it's Ganon's fault. Like, Ganon just had a good plan. That doesn't mean it's Sprite's fault. Ganon just had a good plan. It was a competent plan. I mean, his goal was to distract them so he could steal the Triforce, and he distracted them so he could steal the Triforce. So,
and he got back to his base with the Triforce. So,
yeah,
but then maybe he just didn't expect it to work out, so he didn't have like a plan for when he got both. He's like, okay, how do I make trying to fit them together? Like, how's this work?
He's like, man, it seems like there should be a third one of these.
Yeah.
Well, that the name would make a lot more sense then.
That's what I don't understand. How did they call it a Triforce back in the day and not have three of them? What the heck, Nintendo?
Yeah, and like the weird thing is, in this show, they're not even really triangle shaped.
They're like pyramids or something. It's weird. The next scene where Ganon just whistles, and this giant crab monster comes out of somewhere.
According to Gamepedia.com, that is Goma coming out to attack them.
No. I figure Troy would refer to it as a crab boy.
No, he's a spider boy. Goma's not a crab boy.
So, yeah, it's a one-eyed blue crab.
Big pinches.
Just like a spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm watching the scene of them in the tree. I have no memory of this. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I watched this episode twice and I have not seen this part. I'm baffled. Look, Ganon's got both Triforces. Puts them all up next to each other. Look how pretty they look side by side. Anyway, I guess I have no plan now.
What they really needed right there was both the Triforces talking to each other. That would have made that scene.
Like Ultron and Jarvis talking to each other? Because that's kind of what that scene looks like.
Yeah, sure.
Nothing. Blank stares. Okay. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about. That movie's just bad as well.
It is bad.
How dare you both. I like that movie.
Really?
It's flawed, but I like it.
A lot of people hate the second Thor movie, and I think that's much better than Ultron.
I reckon they're on par, but I prefer Age of Ultron than the Thor one, just because there's not those evil elf people, the dark elves,
the villains of Thor 2 Dark World.
They look ridiculous.
A little ridiculous. And also, I think Thor now suffers in comparison. Thor 1 and Thor 2 both suffer in comparison to Thor 3. Because Ragnarok is like, I love Ragnarok. It's so much fun.
So good.
And trying to watch old Thor now makes me just be like, oh, you could be so much better. Just give in to your like 80s airbrush metal sensibilities.
Yeah. I really remember about the first Thor is him having like pretty funny moments where he just doesn't understand things on Earth. Mm-hmm. He goes to a pet shop and he's like, I need a horse.
Yes. I need a horse line is good. And when he's they're at like a diner and he smashes a coffee mug. Calls for another or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that moment. There's a couple good fish out of water moments, but.
Mm-hmm. I think what really makes the second movie is Kat Dennings.
Mm. She's good.
Mm-hmm. She keeps referring to Mjolnir as Mew Mew.
Man, why couldn't we have had Kat Dennings end up on Sakaar with Thor? She would have been great on Sakaar. She was in Ragnarok just hanging out with Jeff Goldblum. That would have been so good. I've made myself sad.
I like how we do anything to get away from this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to make yourself even more sad? Let's go back to talking about Zelda.
Yeah, it's really bad, this show. But the giant creature grabs Link's sword and pulls him out of the jar, which seems like a bad plan.
Let me help the hero escape.
Well, I don't think the crab was awfully smart, because like Ganon's like, no, you got to go in from the top.
Ganon has to do a lot of coaching of his underlings, it seems like.
Yeah, they're not bright, which you think you want to have like at least one underling who has some brains.
Yeah, you know, that's usually the formula for cartoons, is that you would have like the reoccurring minion type underling for the bad guy to play off of, and Ganon doesn't really get that, does he?
Yeah. No, not really.
That's kind of sad. He's just lonely, you know?
It's kind of his own fault, because I mean, when his bird came back, he just put him back in the evil jar.
Oh yeah.
So he's got friends or henchmen.
It's just the evil jar. Why is it the evil jar? Why? Why is that a thing?
So yeah, Link's on the loose, and he's like shooting at Ganon, and he says, he's a dancing fool.
Because Ganon's trying
to jump around and dodge him. Yeah.
I wonder if that's a reference to Frank Zappa's song. No,
there's someone called Dancing Fool. Yep, Blank Stares.
Fair enough. Frank Zappa is a musician, and he has a song called. Well, he has a song.
That song.
Yeah, Dancing Fool.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Zappa might be big in Hyrule. We don't know.
But yeah, it's at this point that Sprite. At the instruction of Zelda, shoots the jar and smashes it.
Yeah, and so when she does that, she covers her eyes for some reason, and then she shoots the jar, and I think it's because she's like secretly hoping that she kills Zelda.
Oops, like, I missed.
Yep. I mean, that's a hard shot.
Could she only break that jar, do you think, because of her magic being boosted?
Maybe.
Like, Ganon sowed his own defeat by boosting her magic powers, and if he hadn't done that, he could have had Zelda permanently trapped.
That certainly makes the plot sound better.
Yeah. And if he didn't, like, start flowing around flames and stuff, he might not have killed...
Goma.
What was its name? Yeah, there we go. It might not have killed that. He's his own downfall, it seems. Yeah.
So when he hits, when Ganon fireballs the crab guy, he just disappears. And we didn't talk about that earlier. I don't know if that happened in the first episode. I don't remember if enemies get killed.
Yes. Yes, it does. When the Moblins who were fighting Link get back, Ganon's like, oh, you've done your job, or you've done your job poorly and stuff, and he sends him back to the evil jar.
Huh.
Yep. Which, so do you think... but he killed one of them in that fight scene, right? Because that's where he got the magic bow from. But then we see all three of them in the magic jar.
Don't know. Yeah, it's really weird. They're in the underworld immediately after, and he's like, back to the evil jar.
Maybe it's because it's the underworld, so when they die in the overworld, they just are reconstituted in the underworld.
Fair enough.
They respawn, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think when they were fighting everything in Zelda's room, like her sheet and the mops and buckets, they're now in the evil jar?
Yeah, those evil, they're still evil, and now they're in the evil jar.
Yeah, because I had a note, like when she destroys the sheet with the boomerang, I'm like, now she has to get a new sheet.
Yep. She had to get a whole new bed set. That's why she was so upset about her room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Zelda's the one who shoots Ganon.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Once again, Ganon hits, or Zelda hits Ganon, because she hit him last episode, too.
Yeah.
She's good.
So did he die last episode, too? Because he kind of dies.
No. Nah. He was on fire. He just caught fire.
Just a little bit of fire from getting shot by an arrow, like you do. Because that's what happens when you get hit by an arrow, is you catch on a little bit of fire.
Yeah. I feel exactly like you do about that one scene in this episode, about the entire first episode. I totally watched it, but I don't remember anything after like the magic contest thing.
Yeah, it...
You forgot when they belted themselves together to make themselves better at fighting for some reason?
That totally made sense.
Yep. Good strategy. That was just
Link being rapey again.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's rapey twice in that scene. He's rapey at the start of the scene, and then he's rapey again at the end of the scene. Good old Link.
It's just a terrible show. The plot falls apart all the time, and you're just like, what's going on? Okay, that doesn't make any sense, but let's go with it. This bit, when Zelda shoots him, it's not immediately that he just pops away like everyone else. No, Ganon gets off one last shot, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he like flickers out and then flickers back into existence.
Yeah.
And then throws a fireball.
And blows up his own lair because that's what bad guys do.
Yeah.
God. Mm-hmm. The most frustrating bit of the show happens now when Zelda is grabbing the Wisdom Triforce. Link comes along and is like, there's no time to grab the Power Triforce. Let's get out of here. I'm like, Link, you're right there. Grab it. It's right there. You're right there. Don't grab Zelda. She can run on her own. Grab the damn Power Triforce. God damn it, Link.
Time to do something that we could have done in the time it's taken me to say there's no time.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's so frustrating.
And then they go back to the castle, and it's time to get to cleaning again, and everyone buckles down to work really hard because they've all learned an important lesson.
Yep. And also, to stay on theme, now Ganon has to do a lot of spring cleaning to get his lair back in shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then we do the Mario.
Waving our arms side to side and taking two steps.
Yeah.
In
that's
any
the Mario
direction, it seems.
Just two steps wherever you want.
Yeah.
Yep. This show sucks. It's garbage and I hate it.
It's not that bad, and it's funny in some parts, but not intentionally, except for maybe twice. But those could have been accidents, too.
We'll rank this show next episode, and who knows where it'll end up on our list. It could be anywhere.
I know exactly where. It's at the bottom.
But Tyler,
let's not be mysterious about it.
Tyler, you gotta rank it on your own personal list right now.
So am I ranking it out of the shows that you have watched?
Yeah, sure. How you rank it however you want to rank it.
Because a few of them, I can only go off of your opinion, basically, because I've never seen My Hero Academia, but it sounded really good, and I want to watch it.
You should go watch that. It's great. It's one of the best animes recently to come out. So, and there's like 30, 40 episodes out at the moment.
Oh, wow. Already?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
It's good.
Yeah. So let's see. What do I have to rate this out of? Biker Mice from Mars, SpongeBob, My Hero Academia. Am I missing anything?
Dragon Ball is what's airing.
Dragon
right
Ball.
Now.
Yeah. I'm probably going to put SpongeBob at the top of my list there.
Okay.
And yeah, this is at the bottom. I don't know. Maybe it's above Biker Mice from Mars because I've never seen it and I didn't want to watch it after listening to you guys talk about it. Like, it didn't seem like it was for me. It seemed like a ripoff of TMNT.
It is.
But not in a good way.
Yeah. This is spoilers for next week, but I just, you saying that made me think. I think along with the Super Mario Brothers movie, I think this show would be better if it wasn't attached to Zelda. But the fact that it's Zelda makes me like angry about how bad it is. Whereas if it was just like generic fantasy show, I would just be like, oh, this isn't great. But because it's Zelda, I'm like, no, how dare you? Why did you make this so bad?
And maybe that's why I don't hate it so much, because I just don't really have much of an attachment to Zelda. Yeah. So just seeing Link be like a dirtbag, it's kind of funny, because I don't know. Like, he's so awful. He's so bad.
He's the worst. He's the worst.
So do you want to hear my theory about the episode title?
Yes.
Okay, so it's really, if I'd only seen this episode, I'd probably assume that Link and Zelda are in a relationship, and the name of the episode is Cold Spell, so like she's like completely deflecting his advances, so I'd feel like they're in a cold spell of their relationship. But he's just comes off as rapey.
No, that's the problem, is that there's no relationship. She's just deflecting his advances as a creepy dude, because that's what he is in this world of Hyrule.
Which makes what happens in the next episode a lot more understandable.
But the next one's going to be interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you'll have to tune in. It's not good.
No.
I'm going to watch them all, and you should too, listeners.
There's only 13 episodes, so you can do it in an afternoon.
Yeah, they're only like, if you skip like the Super Mario Brothers stuff at the beginning and end, they're like less than 15 minutes long, so you can knock this out in an afternoon.
Before we move on to episode 3, though, Tyler, you want to plug plugs?
Sure. The episode of my podcast, Too Young for This Hit, with Troy on it, should have came out like a month ago, maybe, when this comes out. I don't know.
This will come out on 2/3. So then 1/2. This will come out on the 19th of March, I think.
Okay. So just 2 weeks before then, because your episode should come out March 8th. So yeah, go check that out if you want to hear me and Troy talk about a movie that Troy loves that I had never seen, which is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Too Young for This Hit, where the 2 and the 4 are numbers, because there's not enough characters to spell that name. And then also, Troy has a podcast on our podcast network, We Can Make This Work Probably. You can follow that on Twitter at Probably Work. And check out our website that works now, which is probablywork.com. And I should really probably buy the domain name Probably Works, because I've said it wrong so many times.
I've heard you say it several times, Too Young for This Hit is very good. I just listened to your Wayne's World episode, which was also fantastic.
We need to come up with, I've decided I'm going to start doing parodies at the beginning of the episodes. So
okay,
yeah, so we need to come up with some kind of parody for the Bill and Ted skit. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the scene where they're like meeting themselves from the future.
That's exactly what popped into my head. Fantastic.
One of you has to go, whoa.
I think everyone, all four people involved, would have to go, whoa. I think that's all the things. Next episode is called The White Knight. And as soon as somebody says something awkward, this episode can be over with.
So if you cut out all the rapey bits of this show, you can watch it in like 1 minute.
That will work.
Yeah,
that will do it.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
Hey, MC.
Hey.
You want to do a contest?
Ooh. We're going to do a contest?
I kind of want to do a giveaway.
You're going to do a giveaway, huh? What are you going to give away?
I found a little Legend of Zelda themed keychain. It looks like a key from a temple of Legend of Zelda. And I was thinking we could do a giveaway for it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just something small, but I figure why not. So we're going to do a giveaway. Totally free to enter. Just go to our Twitter page, and you'll see a tweet about the giveaway, and you'll just enter by like liking the tweet and retweeting it and stuff like that. But it's helped us find new people to listen to us, and hey, you can get a little keychain out of it.
Yay!
You're not allowed to win, MC, I'm sorry.
Oh, what?
Cool.
Troy just saw me get all disappointed.
I know, like, that was perfect, accurate disappointment. Oh, okay.
because I'm like, oh, that sounds actually really cool. Like, I don't have any Legend of Zelda stuff at the moment, I don't think.